Hey there, Multiamory listener. Thank you so much for being here with us. If you are new here, welcome. We're so happy to have you. And if you're a longtime listener, welcome back. We're also so happy to have you here.
Yeah, so we've put together this group of Fundamentals episodes that are episodes that we often reference in other episodes. So if you want to get kind of a basic foundation of our key communication tools or basic concepts that get referenced a lot, this is the place to be. So if this is your first time listening, you get a great foundation. Or if you're coming back, you can listen to these as a refresher course.
Once you've made it through our list of fundamentals, then feel free to listen to the rest of our episodes in whatever order you like. Happy listening, and we hope you enjoy. Oh, okay. From your point of view, I can see how, you know, when you're sitting in traffic all stressed out, and then you come home stressed out, and then I'm there immediately upset with you, I can see how that would be really upsetting or really off-putting when you were expecting to come home and things were fine. Or, okay, well, I can see from your point of view that you didn't get a message from me and I came home late, so I can totally understand how that would feel really lonely or concerning or upsetting. And again, that's not necessarily saying like, okay, you're right or you're wrong or whatever. It's just validating like, okay, if this is what your reality was, I can totally understand why you would feel X, Y, Z.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast.
Songs I know I did. Forcing me to form myself to fit.
On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're talking about how to repair after a fight with a partner or even maybe a close friend. We did an episode not too long ago about having healthy arguments, which is episode 210 if you want to check that out. But today, we're focusing on what you can do after a fight has already happened, how to use it to actually deepen your connection and avoid future arguments. So we're going to be talking about, after a little fender bender, how to take your relationship to the repair shop.
Yeah, I like that.
Make it better than new. So it's a little different than a car, though, because it's like better than it was before the accident.
I see. So it's not just they put on like the cheap replacement bumper.
Yeah, or like the little suction cup thing to pull out the dents, right. But it still looks bad. It's like, yeah. No.
It's like an upgrade also. It's a really good repair
shop. They replace
shop.
The entire exterior and then go from there.
Ooh,
maybe it's
like
sort
that.
Of like in Altered Carbon.
Oh, yeah.
When she loses her arm, but then gets the super awesome cybernetic arm.
Yeah, what are they called? Not the skins, it's a sleeve. Ooh.
Yeah, well, she still had the same sleeve, but she got the new arm, the like cybernetic arm.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, so I'm going to keep on
good,
rolling
good
along.
Show. Cool. Show. Yeah.
The listeners who are into that show were like, yes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the problem.
Yeah.
Shall
we? Tell me about
the
problem.
We love problems.
Fights are the problem.
That's why we're here for problems.
They happen. Fights and arguments happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's research out there that states that couples who do fight actually have better relationships. At the same time, I've also seen people use that as a justification for staying in a shitty relationship or in a relationship that's fundamentally incompatible. Mm. Honestly, it reminds me of what really bothers me about The Notebook. Sorry.
Okay.
You know, I've still never seen that film.
That's fine.
You're like, don't see it.
It's not a bad film. Uh-huh. It's pretty iconic, I suppose. But what bothered me about The Notebook is they very much got wrapped up in this idea. I just remember part of their relationship that their early relationship when they were young is they're talking about like they fought all the time, but they loved each other so much.
Yes,
they're very much like we're so passionate, so that means we get into really passionate fights, and that's just a clue that we're just so dang passionate for each other.
Right.
And we're being like, no, that sounds like a fundamental incompatibility if you're fighting all the time.
Right.
Anyway.
But some people do like kind of bite and not literally bite but sort of it, you know, prod and
prod each
poke
other.
Each other, you know, verbally, and that's just kind of how their relationships
once you
are.
Know someone well enough, you know how to poke their buttons.
That's true.
You also know how to not
gently,
poke their buttons.
Yes,
but I think that's the thing though, is I think that like, the research out there that talks about people who, like, people who fight in their relationships actually have better relationships and are more, like, a deeper connection and whatever. It's, like, in comparison to people who just keep it all inside and seethe and just, like, are so annoyed with their partner rather than just being like, hey, this sucks that you did this thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it's talking about. But then people hear it and they think that that kind of just, like, needling each other or just kind of being jerks to each other or, like, doing things that are, like, some of the four horsemen of the relationship apocalypse, right? Like, just contempt for each other that they think, like, oh, yeah, that's what they mean. This is fine.
Well, no.
What I'm doing,
I mean,
is fine.
Yeah, you know? there is, I think, mean poking and prodding, and there's poking and prodding that's, like, out of fun and just knowing, like, the like what you two do. What you two do. Let's be honest.
We all do it.
We all josh each other.
Well, the three of each other do it to each other, but when I observe your relationship, it happens at times.
Well, for some more specifics about that, people can check out episode 210. That was our Fighting Fair, Fighting Dirty episode, correct?
Yeah.
So that's the one where we get more into the breakdown of what are some fair and, like, best practices for having an argument with a loved one versus what are some destructive practices. Yeah. You know, what's the destructive needling versus the playful joshing? So again, that's episode 210. However, the point is that fights just happen sometimes. And especially as the relationship goes on for more time, we can find ourselves having essentially variations on the same fights over and over, or the same topics can come up, or the same triggers can present themselves.
Yeah, there are fights out there that will just happen over and over again. And the Gottmans researched this, and their research has shown that 69% of the time, when couples talk about the one thing that they always argue about, it's just a perpetual problem and it's not going to be resolved, and it actually shouldn't be resolved, which is really interesting to me. In these recurring fights can really just actually be an opportunity to deepen our connections with our partners, even though they may keep coming up time and time again.
Yeah, it's a very provocative statement for the Gottmans to make of, like,
it shouldn't be resolved.
Yes, this thing that you keep fighting about, it's going to keep being a problem and it's not going to be resolved. And maybe it even shouldn't. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I know. I guess I struggle with that a little bit too, because if it is a continual problem, it's like, why can't we, like, move forward with it at some, in some way? But I guess.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, and that's kind of,
it's deeper than that, yeah.
So I think it's important here to kind of take a little pause to make this distinction between a perpetual problem that's not going to get resolved and doesn't need to, and that's okay. Like, that's an opportunity to learn about each other, versus something that's never going to be resolved that is a deal breaker. And they do, the Gottmans also, you know, I was reading about this, they also acknowledge that there are certain incompatibilities that just, not that, like, yeah, either one of you is a bad person, it's just, like, this is a deal breaker. Like, you are not going to be happy long term in this relationship because of this. And just real quick, like, basically in both cases, the thing that these have in common is that the reason why this will never get resolved is because you're not fighting about just a thing of, like, who takes care of this task, or where do we put this thing, or which house do we buy, or something. But this argument actually stems from a, like, fundamental personality trait of each of the two of you, or a fundamental belief of each of the two of you. And that is something that's most likely never going to change. And it's definitely not going to change by fighting about it. It's something that's not going to change. And so the question is this something that, once I understand better why you make the decisions you make and, like, what the beliefs are behind it, that helps me understand you better and we can stop fighting about it, even though the difference will never get fixed.
Sure.
So they're not saying, like, you're going to fight forever. They're saying that
there's an acceptance.
That difference isn't going to change. Yeah. You're not going to convince each other.
So it's like, on the deal breaker side, is there something we disagree about and we're not going to be able to find a tolerable way to deal with it. And so the relationship probably needs to end. Versus the other side being like, there's something we disagree about, but we can actually agree to disagree in a healthy way and learn to live with each other and understand each other and work around it. Is that?
Yeah. So let's actually go through some examples of this.
Yeah, please. Because I want to learn more about this too.
Yeah. Okay. So this example also comes from the Gottmans, and I liked this one. So this is about punctuality.
Ooh.
And this is,
Well, I mean, that is a question. Like, I do know some people who are just perpetually always not punctual,
right,
or always like completely on time. Mm-hmm. And I don't, I don't know if that can be changed or not. I think there are steps to take to become more punctual, but yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a deal breaker.
Exactly. And this was one that they used as an example of something that's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
But like you just said,
I bet you it
we'll
could
probably
be a
never
deal
change.
Breaker for someone.
Maybe for
maybe.
Some people.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah. I would.
It depends on the person. Maybe, I'd like to think that it's not a deal breaker, but maybe it is.
But yeah, it's this thing that like that's like a personality trait. Like you were saying, Emily, like some people just kind of are that. And maybe it came from the way that they were raised. Maybe there's some other aspect of their personality that just thinks differently about like what they value, whether they value taking their time more than being punctual, whereas for the other person, that might be the opposite, whatever it is. But the point here is that if you can understand that this isn't just like a thing that needs to be figured out or decided, but this is actually a fundamental trait of your partner, it changes the way you address it to be like, okay, rather than try to tell you why this is important or for me to tell you why I think my side's important and it's better, it's okay, let's find a way to live together with this.
Yeah.
Is it maybe a certain element of both sides, like one kind of accepting the other will be late and the other realizing, okay, I should kind of plan ahead, like plan everything a half hour earlier so that I'm, you know, helping out my partner. Like, it's something for me with my stepdad, actually.
Is he not
he's
punctual?
Someone, no, he shows up like 15 to 30 minutes early for everything.
I love your stepdad.
And that sounds about right. And if he's a military guy.
Yeah, and if you just show up on time,
you're late.
He can be annoyed about it. Oh,
I'm a fan of myself.
Okay,
because this was my family of origin, all the Germans, where it's very much that. It's like, if you're on time, you are late.
Right.
We're going to show up an hour ahead of time and sit in the car and wait.
Right.
Because that's how we'd rather spend our time.
That's 100% my stepdad.
Yes. But you're like wasting time just sitting in your car then.
But you know you're early.
You know what?
So
I was on time today. I was on time today.
You were.
I'm not always, but I am a lot of the time. I'm like, I toe that line.
We can't get derailed by punctuality.
But so anyway, the example is that this was something that, you know, growing up was an issue between me and my stepdad.
Mm.
But that now it's something like my brother and I were meeting up with him for something. And Josh and I together with each other were like,
we got to tell him that it's like 30 minutes after when it is.
No, just we were like, okay, we should actually leave now because we know he's already probably sitting in the car waiting. Right. So we should go and make sure that we're early. And then we did. And it's like just understanding that about a person rather than kind of fighting against it.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes a big difference.
Okay. I appreciate you giving the counterexample because I can already see listeners or me pretending to be a listener being mad at us about being like, what, you think we should just cater to all the late people all the time? So thank you for providing the counter
No, it was catering to the not late
people.
Right, but hopefully, you know, some understanding can go both ways
yes.
in a relationship, right? So let's look at some other ones.
All right, tidiness of the home. Now, I also don't think this is a deal breaker because I do think, and Dedeker is grimacing over there.
Well, with all of these, it could be for someone and not for another. But
I suppose
I agree
you're
with
right.
Emily
it's
here,
on
though.
A spectrum. I think it's on a spectrum because
well,
I can.
Sure.
It's not a deal breaker for me if someone's like a little bit more messy than me or a little bit more clean than me. You know, I can definitely learn to live with that and learn to find a compromise and a middle ground. If it's an extreme, usually in the extremely much more messy than me, then I'm just like, we could probably still be in a relationship, but probably couldn't live with that person.
Yeah, I get that. And I think probably Jace has become like super minimal from living with you.
It's been part of it. I mean, I did that before I lived with her.
That's true.
I mean, we only lived together part of the year anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But I
and
started my minimalism thing
minimal.
When we were not living together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I need to get on that train a little more.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It's great. But you also don't if you don't want to, right?
Like,
that's
I know.
What we're talking about here.
I'm a little bit of a hoarder because I'm pretty sure of my mother. And and it's not
that
I was
raised that way too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not that I like hoard to an extreme by any means, but it's just that like I am the same size as I was in high school. So I have clothes from high school. Still.
Well,
which
bully
is
for you.
No.
Let's talk about more of these examples.
Oh, gosh. How to celebrate holidays, Christmas or other holidays. Mm. See, again, I don't feel that this is a deal breaker, but
you can see how that would be a point of contention.
Maybe,
for couples, where but to one person it's like
do Thanksgiving this way and do Christmas this way, or do Hanukkah this way and do, you know, whatever this way.
definitely something I run into with my partner, Alex, mm-hmm. is, and I think I'm the weird one. I don't think he's the weird one, is uh-huh. he, you know, like very much holidays are a very important thing, you know, Christmas and birthdays and things. And it's very important to celebrate them like on the day and do all the things. And for me, like I was definitely raised where it's like,
whatever,
practicality always trumps sentimentality. Mm. So if it's not convenient to celebrate the holiday
that
on this day,
like
we're going to reschedule it to another day, you know? And so I'm like, what? I can fly on Christmas. It's
much
cheaper.
Exactly.
You know, and he's like, what? You would fly on Christmas?
And you're like, I love flying on Christmas. It's great because nobody is on the plane.
Right. So it's the kind of thing where I think that comes up for me, yeah. where it's definitely not a deal breaker, but I think because it can be so emotional, I can definitely see how it can generate fights, like, or fights
exactly.
that happen every year, potentially.
Exactly. Because that, for people who do care about, like even if it's not just about the day it happens on, but it's like the way we do Christmas is super important, and I want to see all my family. And the other person's like, for me, Christmas is like, I want to get away, I want to take a trip, I just want it to be the two of us, like whatever it is. You can see how that would be a very emotionally charged.
Well, you got to compromise. You got to do one thing one year and one thing another year.
I was just talking to a friend of mine, and one of her partners was raised Jehovah's Witnesses. And so he was raised not celebrating any holiday.
Oh.
Not even birthdays.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
how they do. Anyway, he's not anymore, but he's still like around Christmas. And he lives with her and with her other partner. And still around Christmas, he's like, I just don't want anything to do with this, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, he kind of tries to play along a little bit, but for the most part, he's just like, whatever, you know.
Oh, my
gosh.
Which
is also really fascinating.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's an example of something that hopefully you could work with and figure out a way to make that work.
Ooh, this one's getting into some crunchy territory. How to relate to in-laws. So... Yeah. I think this becomes more challenging if somebody doesn't like their in-law, and like they have a really tough time with them, because I know that like historically in-laws have been deal breakers or just points, like major points of contention
yeah.
for people. And so yeah, I don't know, this could be a learn to live with it situation for sure. I just watched the show Years and Years, highly recommend it, everyone needs to watch it. But yeah, like the wife of one of the main characters, like really didn't like his grandmother and had to learn to live with her. But then at the end of the show, they ended up being like very close. So I don't know. I think that, yes, you can learn to deal with each other better.
Well, I don't think this doesn't even necessarily have to be when you don't get along with the in-laws. Mm-hmm. It could just be that for you, you're like, yeah, the in-law relationship isn't one that's super important to me to foster.
Whereas
your partner is like, why aren't you like texting with my mom or whatever? I think
totally.
The same stuff could come up with how people view metamour relationships, because they are not dissimilar
from
in-laws.
That's a really good point.
For some people, it's like, whatever, like, I'm fine to be hands-off. And for other people, they kind of want something much more kitchen table-ish or much more, you know,
we
whatever.
All have to be in on this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually think that, like, the more I've thought about it, the analogy of in-laws, I think, is the analogy for metamors.
Yeah.
Like, it's really the same type of thing. It's like, it's someone who's connected to your partner. They're important to your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that you didn't get to choose, right? Like, they're just there. And I think it is very similar, where it's like, I don't know what kind of relationship I want to have with them necessarily. I think this one also extends to like how close one person is with their family versus another, where one person might be like, I kind of prefer having my own space. And the other is like, oh, I want my siblings to come over every weekend and like bring their kids and hang out. And like, you know, it's something that needs to get figured out and talked about rather than just arguing over who's correct.
Yeah. I mean, I call my mom like almost every single day.
Yeah.
And my partner,
I can't even imagine.
No, I know.
That.
And my partner like talks to his parents like once a month or once every 3 months or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. My mom and I just gab.
Yeah. And that's great. Right. Uh-huh. And that's, you know, if that caused an issue with a partner, though, it's not like they're going to convince you to not do that. Right.
No, that would never happen.
Right.
That
so that's a good
happen.
Example of like one of these just kind of inherent, like, no, this is just a thing about me.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. This one's a deal breaker, I think.
I think it can be.
Yeah. Too monogamous or not too monogamous. That is the question.
Well, maybe more of like what level of. Yeah. Monogamy and or non-monogamy,
right?
Or sometimes I think the Gottmans phrased this as like, what level of fidelity you expect in the, or what fidelity looks like in the relationship.
And I think that too many people, and we'll get into this in a later episode, but I think too many people just expect that, like, if you are monogamous, that means this.
The same exact
that means exactly what everyone on the planet thinks that it means. Yeah. And in reality, that's not the case. I mean, all of these things need to be spoken about and communicated about.
Yeah, I mean, I think this one, to even not put it in the context of non-monogamy, but just like...
Is hanging out with an ex a bad thing?
Exactly, yeah. Like, maybe your best friend is your ex, and to one person, it's like, that's completely unacceptable for you to be friends with this person, and the other person's like, no, but this is my best friend.
Yeah.
You can see how that's not something that one's just going to, like, convince the other.
Totally.
And it's not that either one is wrong.
I know, exactly. I could see maybe
not
in some situations, some people learning to live with that. Maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I could also see in many situations that just being not a non-starter.
Yeah.
Or just, something that pisses someone off for a long time.
I think this one is a good example of one of those where it's like, for some people, this could be a deal breaker, and for others, it might not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It just really depends on how that shows up. But I think if they argue about it trying to convince the other person or trying to just figure out who's right, you're not going to get anywhere, and you're going to fight about this forever.
Yeah, totally.
And you're going to be miserable doing it, and it's not going to make you closer, right? It's not a fight that's going to make you closer and more intimate with each other.
What about wanting kids or not?
Okay, that is a deal breaker in my opinion.
For a lot of people it is, yeah.
Unless it was a situation where I was dating someone who was okay having kids with someone else.
Well, okay, yes.
You know, if they're into that, then I'm like, yeah, great. But if it's, I want kids with you, then I'm like, sorry.
Nope.
That's
nippity
nope.
I have kids with a bunch of other randos out there, but not with you. And I don't know them.
Right, but it's a good one where it's you could... Like, and I think this one sometimes people will compromise on and not really think that through like, I'm going to get to the end of my life then and always regret this and be sad about this.
Yeah, I've heard that from various people, like, you know.
On both sides.
My voice teacher.
Either having kids or not having kids.
Yeah, that's true. But my voice teacher's like, one of the greatest regrets in my life is that I've never had a kid. And I'm like, yeah, like, you can. I'm an example that you can do it alone, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But, and on the other side too, it's like, well, my partner really wanted kids, so we had kids, and it's been really hard, and it's put a strain on our relationship, and I wasn't able to accomplish the things I wanted to do in life. And, you know, it can be on either side. And I think, so this one, I would tend to think...
Not to imply that those people don't love their kids. Like, before you angry tweet at us, we know that...
Hate them.
Generally, when you have a kid, you love it, which is a good thing. So, but just, anyway.
But yeah, just that. Just that, like, this one maybe isn't something to compromise on.
No.
Just a thought. Mm-hmm. Just a thought.
Cohabitation and marriage. Yeah, again, I think that you can compromise on that, but I think that if somebody fundamentally is like, I really want these things in my life and I want them with a partner, and then, you know, if another person doesn't, then that's not really compatible.
Yeah, I'll say that... this is going to sound weird. One of the best breakups I ever had.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
One of the most like healthy, respectful, where I was like hurt and disappointed, but not like harmed by the breakup was when someone who I was only dating for a few months was honest with me of like, you know what? I'm really clear that I want to get married and have kids.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that it's clear
that
you don't.
I think I know who this person is. Yeah.
And he was just really honest and upfront with me about that.
Now he's married.
And now he's married and probably going to have
good
kids.
For him.
And good for
him.
You know, we're still in touch and it's positive and it's fine.
That's
lovely. But it's, you know, that kind of thing where he was honest about what he wanted and didn't do the thing that I think a lot of people do, which I have done, you know, of like, I'm just going to go along with this and... Maybe this person will change their mind, or maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know.
They won't. You won't.
Yeah. It's unlikely.
Yeah.
Right.
But what I so appreciate about that was just that it's like he was honest and we could end the relationship early as opposed to it getting all kind of murky and in the weeds about this kind of stuff.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah definitely. Mm-hmm. Next one is about how we spend money. This one, has to do with... like, what do we value, right? It's about our values and our beliefs of, like, to me, you know,
I want to save a lot, or I want to go on extravagant trips, yes, like right, once a year.
Right. Yeah. To me, it's like, what's the point of money if I'm not using it to have experiences? Totally. And on the other side, it's like, no, the purpose of money is safety.
Yeah.
So that means saving it, right?
Ooh, wow. And this is just, said a couple things right there that I can relate to. Yeah.
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 Oh, we'll do the money episode, redo the money episode.
So yeah. Yeah.
Talk about all that stuff. Too.
But yeah, I think that I don't know. I don't know if that's a deal breaker unless it's like we share all of our finances.
Yeah, and if you have your own monies,
you're like draining our bank account constantly on exorbitant expenses that I don't want to. Like, that seems like that's a deal breaker.
Totally. Yeah.
And maybe people break up over money all the time.
Yeah. I've heard it's the number one cause of divorce, or at least one of the top three causes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Another one's how out we want to be
regarding like non-monogamy or
whatever. Anything, you know, something that you feel like one person wants to hide and the other wants to shout it from the rooftops. That could be a deal breaker, especially.
I think you should be, you know, with the pace car there a little bit, but.
Well, sure. And it's, you know, it
kind of depends on your
respect,
overlap of social circles and professional circles, because depending on the context of your life, maybe it is something you can live with where it's like my partner being more out than I am doesn't affect my life or doesn't influence my life or doesn't compromise my safety. And so that's okay for us to be different levels of out versus you may be in a different situation where because there's some kind of professional overlap or social overlap, like if my partner's out, it doesn't necessarily make it safe for me or whatever.
Totally.
Well, and I just want to say too that with this one, it's like this could be a deal breaker or it could be a compromise. It depends, because it also could, like Emily, you said, I would agree with you that out of respect for someone's boundaries, that I wouldn't be, you know,
gregarious
like,
I
wouldn't be out and like posting on my social media about non-monogamy if I had a partner who felt like they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, for me, that is such an important part of my identity and my professional life to be out.
Yeah.
That would be a deal breaker. Not because I think they're wrong or they think I'm wrong. It's just like, well, this is just fundamentally incompatible.
Sorry, unfortunately. A podcast on non-monogamy.
Right.
Like,
it's part of the cost of admission.
Yeah, exactly.
Bit.
Yeah. And then the last one we have here is use of substances, or whether or not someone will admit to having an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could be disagreeing about use of substances recreationally that isn't like an addiction problem, but just like one person's very not okay with that and the other does like to, you know, whatever it is.
Dabble.
Or it could be like one person not admitting to an addiction problem or alcoholism or something. That's one of the ones the Gottmans point out as
maybe more of a
deal
breaker.
Definitely. Yeah.
Versus just that you like to use this substance, but I don't.
Right.
But, and that's okay. You know, it's just like, we just don't do that together as long as like we're safe and it's not, you know, having some kind of destructive effect on our lives.
Totally.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what to do about these perpetual problems when they're not deal breakers. So yes, they can be destructive. They can cause a relationship to fall apart, but they can also cause a relationship to get stronger and for us to learn more about our partners and ourselves in these situations. Like, why is it that we're doing these things? Why is it that they're doing these things? So with all of this, definitely try to let go of like being right or winning. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in episode 210. But it is kind of worth reiterating here that like winning and being right and like one-upping your partner is like not a good thing in these situations.
it's not
even an effective thing.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's the more
true.
Important part of this is that it's not going to be effective in actually changing the perpetual problem.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, again, the goal is not to change these perpetual problems, but if you want to talk about how to like be better in these situations and be a better communicator, then going that route is not going to be helpful at all. The goal is really not to jump back into the fight or try to like fight your way to being right, but rather like trying to find a mutual understanding between the two of you and kind of delve into what your partner is going through, what their reality is during the fight. And I think that really is huge there. Like, to try to understand for each other their point of view, to walk a mile in their shoes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to like understand what the beliefs are behind that thing.
Exactly.
Like, one of the ways that I've heard it put is that you're not arguing about a thing, but you're arguing about a meaning of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stuff that's not going to get resolved, is like you might have a different meaning that you attach to this thing. And that's just the reality. And so learning the meaning that this has for each other is more important than the actual decision about the thing.
Yeah.
In terms of these like perpetual fights that come up over and over again. So if you do find that you have one of these things where it's like we have a variation on the same fight over and over again, perhaps this is an opportunity to look at what might be this meaning behind it, what mm-hmm. might be this fundamental personality trait or belief in us that is attached to this that we're maybe not even realizing is different. We just assume the other person believes the same thing, mm-hmm. and so we don't understand why they make different decisions than us, and we have to have an argument about it. So what we've done here for this episode is we've taken advice and steps proposed by researchers like the Gottmans, as well as other articles by psychologists and our own personal experiences of working with couples and also in our own lives. And we have created SHOP.
Till you drop. No, I'm kidding.
Till you drop. Different. Yes. So, you know, it's like I said in the intro, you're driving along in your relationship car. And you have an accident, and maybe you keep having this same accident.
Or maybe it's like the check engine light keeps coming on, yeah. or you keep that weird clangety-clangety noise keeps going off, and you're like, what is that noise? Yeah, or the air conditioner keeps cutting out, and you're like,
you need to put a patch on your tire, it keeps like getting, right. you know...
Or your tires are just, filled. Like whatever, some yeah. perpetual ongoing problem.
So you take it to the repair shop, and the beautiful thing about this repair shop is that it makes your car even better and stronger and faster than it was before.
Harder, better, harder, better, stronger. What is it? Yeah.
Harder, better, faster, stronger.
There it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you it's faster, it. Higher, stronger is the...
Oh my God. This no, is really we're talking
about.
I know
you're talking
Daft
about
Punk.
The Daft Punk song. Correct. I'm talking about the Olympics. The Vini, Vidi, Vici, Vidi,
oh, I like
Vici,
that.
Vidi, Vini.
No, you know that's I
Vini,
came, Vini, I saw, Vici? I conquered. What
no,
are you
shit,
talking about, Chase?
The Olympics one. The faster, higher, stronger, right?
I don't know.
What are you talking about with the Olympics?
I feel like I should know this. I love the Olympics.
Is it be the best you can be?
Nah.
that's the army. That's be all you can be.
Oh.
It's the Nike symbol. No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Citius Altius Fortius, which is the Olympic motto.
Mm-hmm.
And it means faster, higher, stronger.
Oh.
So
okay.
that Daft Punk song is kind of a play on this idea, I think. At least that's how I interpreted it.
Cool. I thought it was just about technology, but...
It is.
Let's talk about a repair shop.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. So the SHOP is an acronym, and it stands for Stories, History, Ownership, and Prevention. So this is not something to do during the fight. Go to 210 for that. This is after the fight, when you're like, hey, we're having the same fight. Let's go to the repair shop.
Yeah. Or like doing this in your radar.
Yeah, it's a great thing for a radar.
Yeah. Totally. During that section on fights
and
conflicts.
It's a great thing for any time where you're not... in the emotional upheaval of the fight.
Yeah.
You know, when things have calmed down a little bit, when you're feeling a little bit better, when you have a better perspective on it, and you can enter into this space of kind of taking a step back and analyzing what really happened here for me, what really happened here for you. Let's see if we can come to a place of mutual understanding on this.
Yeah. So let's go through the steps.
Yeah.
Woo.
Okay. So the first one is the S for stories. So what you're going to do is you're going to take turns sharing your experience of what happened during the fight, or sharing your story of the fight, sharing how did you feel? What was your experience of what happened? What was your reality? So it could be things like, so I'm gonna create a little example for us just to use as we go through this. So let's take this first example of the perpetual problem. Let's do the punctuality one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
So maybe my story was like, well, I experienced that when you came home half an hour late, and I hadn't gotten a message from you in like 2 hours. I felt lonely. I felt a little worried. I felt a little bit abandoned. You know, I had this story in my head that you totally forgot about me. Mm. Or I had this story that maybe you were just having such a great time hanging out with someone else that you weren't going to come home, or things like that. And then my partner gets an opportunity to also share their story as well of maybe it was what, like, I don't know, like I just lost track of the time, and then I got caught in traffic, and then I was, you know, really worried because I knew that we had plans tonight and I was really stressed about coming home. And so that's why I was all flustered when I came home. And so bear in mind that like when you and your partner share your stories or your realities of the fight, they're probably going to be two very different realities.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this on the show before, this idea of multiple competing narratives, essentially, that neither of your narratives are wrong. They're both right. That's the weird paradoxical thing about so all weird. Of this. And yeah. so avoid the temptation to get into arguing about which one is the right story, which one is more accurate, you know, or trying to essentially discredit your partner's story by being like, well, I don't see how you would think that because yada, 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 yada. Or like, well, you shouldn't, you know, like, well, you should have known that this was actually what the case was, you know, yada, yada, yada.
And this sounds easy and it's actually very hard.
It is very hard.
Because, you know, because
to not get defensive in these moments.
Exactly. In that example, like Dedeker was sharing, right? Of like, to me, it meant that you didn't care about me and maybe you were never going to come home
or you didn't value me. Yeah.
It's like, no, I was stuck because of this thing or like whatever.
Or it could be like, why would you think that?
Right.
You know?
It's like, yes. I've always come home. Why would you think
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Right. It's hard not to fall into that temptation yes. instead of to step back and validate it.
Yes. So it's very important when you're exchanging your stories or your realities of the fight that it could be... you can validate what your partner's experience was. And remember that validating, it doesn't necessarily mean agreeing. It doesn't mean like, oh, okay, well, your experience was the right one. So, or, well, my experience was definitely the right one. But something more along the lines of like, oh, okay, from your point of view, I can see how, you know, when you're sitting in traffic all stressed out and then you come home stressed out and then I'm there immediately upset with you, I can see how that would be really upsetting or really off-putting when you were expecting to come home and things were fine. Or, okay, well, I can see from your point of view that you didn't get a message from me and I came home late, and so I can totally understand how that would feel really lonely or concerning or upsetting. And again, that's not necessarily saying like, okay, you're right or you're wrong or whatever. It's just validating like, okay, if this is what your reality was, I can totally understand why you would feel X, Y, Z. And again, don't tell your partner what they did or what they didn't do. Just stay focused also on your own feelings when you're telling your story. Again, we'll reiterate that using I statements is generally better than using you statements.
So like with Dedeker's example there, it's like, I felt like, you know, it meant you didn't care about me or you didn't value our plans or you were having more fun with someone else and forgot about me, whatever it is, rather than saying, well, I was upset because you forgot about me or because you didn't
care
about
me. Because you didn't
give
a shit about communicating to me.
It's trying to keep it focused on how I felt and what it meant to me rather than what you thought, what you did, how you felt.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just
love this quote.
From the Gottmans?
It's from the Gottmans.
They say, there is no immaculate perception. And basically what that means is like there's no one who has a monopoly on the truth. There's
like Immaculate Conception.
I think that's what they're going for, a little riff.
Cute.
But yeah, this idea that it's pretty much impossible for one of you to have been the one who has the whole story and the other person's totally wrong. You know, like we all bring our different filters and different pasts and different feelings and chemical makeups and all these things to a situation. And so that's always going to influence your perception of an event or of a fight.
Yeah.
Should we go on to the next step? I feel like that makes sense. So it's stories. It's like, what was the story of what happened for me? And acknowledging that they're both true.
Yes.
Like they're both real for each of you. Right? Yeah. That's the first step.
So the next one is age in Shop, which is stands for history. So history kind of goes along with things like triggers or just old things that happen in your life that can cause you to feel a certain way about a certain situation or just can be like, you know, a button that is pushed in that particular moment. So this, I guess, is another Gottman quote. Sometimes escalation can come from a trigger or old enduring vulnerabilities that occurred before this relationship began.
That was
like
kind of their definition of trigger. I think it's, you know, it works for what they're talking about. I think it's good to clarify.
Yeah. And we
since
have
trigger
to,
has other meanings.
Yeah, we have to give the disclaimer that in this context, talking about a trigger from your past could very literally mean like a PTSD trigger
that
causes a full-on PTSD response. Could mean an anxiety trigger. It could just mean some kind of sticky, uncomfortable thing from your past that this situation reminded you of.
That pushes a button on you and that you have an emotional response to afterwards. So in this case, when this happens, try to think about the time in which this maybe occurred in the past and where like you kind of had a similar set of feelings. And then try to tell your partner of the story of what happened so that they can understand your sensitivities and why this might trigger you. I think that's a really good thing too.
Yeah.
To be even aware of for yourself. And it maybe might cause you to go back into some uncomfortable situations in your past. And that's challenging, but again, being forthcoming with your partner, I think, is really important in these moments.
Yeah, something my therapist asks me all the time, and which I've now adopted and also ask my clients all the time, is like, if I'm describing a situation where I'm like, yeah, and then this person said this, and I just feel really upset about it, and I feel upset about it now, that he'll ask me, okay, that thing that you're feeling right now, is there anything old and familiar about that feeling?
That's
a good way to put that.
And pretty much 99% of the time, I'm like, yes, it 100%, like, this is how my body felt the night that this thing happened 10 years ago, or in this relationship, or whatever. Or like, maybe to bring it back to the punctuality example, I can be like, this brings me back to this past relationship where someone ignored me for like a full 2 days because they were with someone and they dropped off the face of the planet and I felt really abandoned, and it brings up all those same feelings.
Interesting. Yeah. And with this, it might not necessarily be related to trauma or a painful memory, but it can be related to maybe like a belief, just a fundamental belief that you have about something. So like, for example, like if you show up on time for this punctuality thing, that means that you care about me. So if you don't show up on time, then you don't care about me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. On the other side of this, expressing understanding and empathy when your partner describes this incident is incredibly important. And like, again, as we said in the last one, don't try to tell them that their belief is wrong or try to convince them or get defensive in these moments. And again, that's easier said than done at times, but it's something to really think about in these moments. Don't try to like change their mind about it, because that might be something that comes in time on their own if you need to.
Or it might not, right?
Exactly. Like, or it might not, and that's also okay. Just really try to understand and empathize. And if you can't believe that that thing is also true, then just be there for that person, express sympathy or understanding for them.
Yeah, I would even say, like, if you can't understand it, like, I just can't even get my head there to how you could possibly believe
that
thing.
That's definitely a thing that I've felt in my relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can't do that, then you just have to take their word for it.
Totally, yeah.
And just be like, I don't have to understand it necessarily to know that that's true for you.
I think that, yeah, I've had these moments where I'm like, my partner is like being really stubborn right now about this thing. And it's just, in reality, it's just kind of like a fundamental difference in our experience. And I might be like, I don't understand why you're being so rigid about this particular thing. Where to them, it's like, well, that's my reality of the situation, and I really can't change how I feel about it.
Well, at the same time, though, I think it's also important for your partner to acknowledge that it's like you have a different reality as
well. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. That's part of this whole repair shop process.
Yeah.
Is, again, not one person being like, well, I have this belief, and it's the right belief,
and
it's never going to change. It's like, I have this belief.
That's my excuse to be an asshole.
I have this belief, and that's why it brought up these feelings for me. I recognize that you have a different belief, and that's why you feel differently about this.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like these two things both exist in the same space-time.
Totally.
So like another example of kind of this thing about beliefs, like we're talking about the messiness thing. And that's actually, so this example I wrote down here was like that for one person, it's like being able to keep my space messy and have my stuff out is how I feel independent, because maybe I grew up in a family
really
that was super military overbearing about how I did things. And so to me, this is how I feel free and independent.
So I could really, so let's say just
you
and I, Jace, were having this argument. I could definitely fuck this up right now. You know, it's like you share like your history of like, I grew up in this really rigid military family, was, you know, punished for things not being put away. And so now that I have my own space, like, you know, me being able to kind of put my stuff wherever is how I feel free. And I could really fuck it up by being like, well, I don't care. You're an adult. Get it together. You know, I can't live like this.
Yeah.
Where I've completely, like, you've been vulnerable and opened up to me, and I've completely blasted
over it.
Right.
And again, even when sharing your history, I don't have to be like, okay, well, then everything's forgiven and that's your excuse. But I can be like, okay, I can understand. Like, I can
find a way to
understand. And then I can also share my trigger of like, I grew up in a house that was like all chaos all the time, and we were constantly having to move around, and there was no stability. And so for me, coming home when things are nice and clean and organized, then that's my stability, you know? Like, And again, those two things exist in the same space-time and are both true and valid.
To even make this one a little bit more real life. So this was not a real conversation that Dedeker and I have had, but we have had a variation on this where we both like to have a pretty clean place.
Yeah.
However, there's like specific little things.
Like where to put like a certain thing, or Dedeker doesn't want like clutter in her line of sight, or
whatever. Well, so we had this issue specifically.
I just don't want clutter on flat surfaces.
So we had this issue that came
up. No, this whole, sorry.
We had this issue that came up a lot about where my like computer stuff would be.
Yes, where electronics go.
Where electronics would go. And we kept having this kind of argument again and again.
You want like a station of like your electronics where everything is.
Well, that's kind of what we got to is that the meaning was different for us. For her, the thing that was the most important was all surfaces being clear. Right? And for me, the thing that was the most important was for me, like this is something that my computer station is something I come back to constantly throughout the day. And so for me, having it always available and set up is the more important thing. Mm. And so once we realized that, then it was like, okay, now we can work with this.
Yeah.
Now we can figure out like, okay, well, let's make a spot for it that it can be put away, but is also convenient. Or this area is just going to be my stuff set up, but everywhere else is going to be this. So I won't set something over there. Or if I do, I'll put it away after I'm done.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can kind of work with it once you understand what the underlying like belief or thing is about it.
Yeah, definitely. What's next?
All right. The next is the O of shop for ownership. Ownership. So in this one is, so you've talked about your stories. You've talked about your histories, if this is tied to anything, what your beliefs are about it. And then this is your chance to take ownership and accept responsibility for your own part in the fight. So not just ownership of like my beliefs, but like, okay, you know, what can I own up to in the way I handled this that actually led to us having a fight, right? Maybe you've been stressed, or you weren't a good listener, or you immediately made it about yourself rather than listening to what they talked about, right? Like, what can you own up to that contributed to the argument? So again, using Gottman research here, they have shown in their research that taking responsibility, even if it's just for a tiny part of the problem in communication, will sort of, it generates like a trust. It generates a way to step forward. It allows the other person to admit things as well.
Totally.
Without feeling like, well, if I admit that, then I lose and you win. And like, this is also something that if you were brought up in a situation where you never back down, that can be a hard thing to shift to.
So maybe in our hypothetical example with the punctuality thing, you know, on my side, I could be like, okay, well, I can take ownership for, you know, jumping down your throat as soon as you walked in the door. Mm-hmm. You know I shouldn't have done that. And I should have approached you maybe in a more calm way. And so I'm sorry about that. And then maybe my partner can take ownership for, well, I'm sorry that I didn't message you. I realized I should have at least communicated that I was running late. And so I'm sorry for not doing that.
Yeah.
And notice that like no one person has taken responsibility for the entire situation and it hasn't turned into a blame game, but it's like we've both been able to even pick out small parts to take responsibility for and take ownership for.
Yeah, that's great.
And yeah, I mean, for me, that like, I don't know, I think that in both my family of origin and in a lot of formative relationships that I've been in, there has been this assumption that like taking ownership or apologizing means
you've lost.
Well, it's not even just that you've lost, but it means that you're admitting to like the whole, like you're taking responsibility for the whole thing. Mm. You know, that you're saying, okay, I was the wrong one, you were the right one, and so you can't apologize.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to make it so that the other person apologizes or the other person admits wrongdoing, because if you do, and even in a small part, that means that you've lost. And so that's something that I've really had to pursue in my own personal growth, as it were. But I think, you know, this of even just finding what's the small part is a really good place to start from, you know, to kind of help get that, what do I want to say? Kind of that whole ownership train a-going, you know, so that both of you feel comfortable to start taking ownership of all the multiple moving parts of this particular fight.
Yeah. I love that. All right. Prevention is the final one.
Final P.
The final P.
You know what they say.
Also the only P.
About yeah. ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Huh. Really?
You never
I like
heard that?
No,
I've
but that's
that
good.
Before. Yeah, it's
yeah.
been
good.
A while, though.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with prevention, discuss how you can do things differently next time. I like to do this a lot. Like, hey, like, what are some actionable things
right.
that we can, you know, an action that we can take in order to prevent this? Like, can I, you know, maybe take a breath for myself before when my partner walks in the door mm-hmm. and, you know, it's been really late or something? Can I just take a breath and, like, be kinder to them about it? Or ask, like, hey, you know, I thought that we said you were going to come home 30 minutes ago. Like, did something happen there or whatever? Not so that it's like, how dare you, you dick, or something. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. So try to think about, like, one way that each of you can make it better if this type of incident happens again.
Yeah.
And as I was kind of just saying, like, try to make a plan to minimize hurt feelings and avoid a future incident. And then, again, just, like, sometimes understanding underlying beliefs, the things that we talked about before, the history of it all, can really help. And can, again, infuse more empathy into the situation.
Yeah. This is something we talked about on the show a while back. I forget when it was, but something that, I mean, maybe Dedeker, you want to share, but just about someone saying they'll do something mm-hmm. and not doing it to you has a lot more meaning
yeah.
than just them forgetting that thing.
Yeah, definitely. You hit the nail on the head.
You summed it up pretty good. Well, so for me, that was something that, like Emily was just saying, that just understanding that underlying belief can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was like once we had that conversation and you kind of told me that the story of like that being a frustration for you growing up, you know, of your
just
parents
forgetting.
Or whoever, like not following through on things that they promised you, that to you that has a lot more meaning than I realized. Because for me, it was just sort of like, oh yeah, I forget stuff sometimes. Like that's not, you know, it sucks, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And realizing that, like, okay, based on your story, that is a big deal. And so that's changed the way that I will react to those things, either through prevention of, like, okay, if I've said I'm going to do something for Dedeker, like, I'll make extra effort to put a reminder or something like that. Like, take actual steps, not just be like, I'll be better about that, but actually, like, make a reminder, write it down, do something like that. Or if I do forget, because it happens sometimes, to take it seriously, to not be like, oh yeah whatever, because I know that actually makes it worse rather than to me it's like that's like, okay, that makes it better by sort of downplaying it, but instead realizing doing that makes it worse. And so it's like I'll be extra apologetic about it and immediately propose how I'll remedy it.
I like that.
Right,
that's great.
Of like, okay, you're right, I forgot about that, but I'm gonna move this thing around so I can go do that right now. Or like, I'll set a reminder right now and I'll do that in 2 hours after I have this meeting or whatever it is, so that right away she knows, no, this is important and I've made a plan to address it.
Yeah.
You make me cry. Oh, so sweet. Well, I think on my side, it's also been kind of internalizing and realizing that you're not a terrible person for forgetting things.
Whoa.
and just,
how dare you?
We've had a lot of conversations about the different ways that our respective memories work, you know, and it's another one of those where like, that's probably going to be an unsolvable problem, quote unquote, unsolvable perpetual problem in our relationship, just because of fundamentally the different ways that we process information.
Yeah.
But it's not something where one of us has to make this extreme effort of changing the other person.
Sure.
You know, Jace is not like making this extreme effort to try to change me to chill the fuck out about remembering things. And I'm not trying to, you know, harangue Jace into remembering things all the time perfectly. You know, that it's kind of like in understanding the background, we're able to do that kind of like agree to disagree and like live with these differences.
Yeah.
And it being okay and being able to have ways to repair it. Each time
that's
something great. Happens.
Yeah.
It is pretty great.
It is great. You're right.
Right. Uh-huh. That's fantastic. Uh-huh. Well done, you two.
Shall we recap?
Yeah. Let's recap. So taking it to the shop. I'm just going to the shop, to the shop. I'm just going to the shop. See, I'm retooling some Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just going to the store, but,
but
to the shop.
To the shop.
The shop.
We're
being a bit, same thing.
A bit
same
more British
diff.
About it.
Yeah.
I'm going down to the shop.
So stories is number one.
Yes.
And then history, and then ownership and prevention.
Yeah.
So just real quick, Emily, could you like one sentence sum each of those up?
So stories is just going to be like sharing your own personal experience of what is happening in that particular moment. History is going back into your brain, into your memories of the things that might be triggering to you about that particular thing and why it caused you to have the reaction that you did. Ownership is taking ownership of like the reaction that you had and maybe even admitting like, hey, I could have done that better. And then prevention is having actionable steps for figuring out like how to do better next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bam. That's great. Bam. 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 Yeah. Bam. 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 Well done.
Yeah. I'm going to use this in my own life faux show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do have a secret bonus fifth step.
We do?
Yes, we do.
Don't so say it like that. So
I didn't hear about this.
Even so Emily secret, doesn't even know. Emily didn't
know. I thought we were perfect. We went to the shop.
Yes, we went to the shop. Yes, that is good. But we do have a bonus secret fifth step.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about that in our bonus episode. If you want to be able to get access to our bonus episode, then go to our Patreon to get more information about that. So we would love to hear from all of you about this, about what are some perpetual, quote-unquote, unsolvable problems in your relationships that you've made work? What are deal breakers for you? Have you used some kind of repair framework like this for getting things feeling better after a fight with a loved one? We want to hear about it. So the best place to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners is on this episode's discussion thread in our private Facebook group or Discord chat. You can get access to these groups and you can join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can email us at info@multiamory.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 678-MULTI-05. Or you can leave us a voice message on Facebook. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Emily Matlack, and me, Dedeker Winston. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanera. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our production assistants are Rachel Schenowork and Carson Collins. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.